This morning, we're continuing our series called Follow Me, and I just mentioned to you that, Lord willing, that we're going to conclude this series next Sunday, but this series, Follow Me, is about becoming a disciple of Jesus. It is about really living as a disciple of Jesus as we have been called to. Now, I'm just going to give you a few comments that a pastor never wants to hear out in the foyer after the service. The first one is, it's amazing how you always find something to fill up the time. Some people, here it is, I don't care what they say, I like your sermons. Don't want to hear that. And here's one, well, I guess it's kind of a backhanded compliment, but if I'd have known you were going to be good today, I would have brought someone. You must not be praying. Anyway, they shouldn't make you preach so often. There's one. And here's one that I don't have to worry about anymore, but did you know there are 550 ceiling tiles in our auditorium? Now, don't come tell me how many acoustic tiles there are. I don't want to hear that. But my least favorite is, you give a pretty good talk. I don't ever want to give a good talk. I want the Lord to use me to speak to his people and that our lives would truly be changed. Amen. That's always my prayer. But today, I just want to let you know that we're going to go deep. That's right. We're going to go deep. And deep has nothing to do with some new teaching that a lot of people just have never heard. That's not what deep means. It has nothing to do with knowing Greek and Hebrew and a bunch of weird theological terms. That's not what deep is. Deep is when you're in over your head. So here's what deep is. The call to be a disciple is a call to be like Jesus. And that is as deep as you can ever get. To be like Jesus, we spend our whole life, this lifelong journey, to be like him. That's as deep as you can get. I don't care how many letters somebody has after their name, what seminary they went to. I don't care if they can explain all about the principalities of powers and tell you how many demons can occupy a 10 by 10 room. I want to tell you what we need to know this morning is how to be more like Jesus. Deep is being like Jesus. By the way, Jesus didn't ever do any of those things and neither did his disciples, but when Jesus says, follow me, he's inviting us to go on a lifelong journey. Not a walk, a lifelong journey. We're on this lifelong journey, and guess what? This journey that we're on, it has ultimately a destination. And that destination, I'll tell you, we get there as we know him and we become more and more like him. It is a journey to be intimate with him and to imitate him. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He says, I'm imitating Christ so you can imitate me. And you know what? Sometimes as a strong believer, people ought to be able to look at us and learn about Jesus. That as they imitate us, they're imitating Jesus. But in the King James, it says it this way, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I just want you to understand that to be a follower of Jesus is to be like him. It is to imitate him. And Paul makes it really clear that this is really the ultimate goal of ministry. In Galatians 4:19, he says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He's praying he wants Christ to be formed in these people. That's what it's about, is about us becoming more and more like Jesus. And Jesus lets us know that is the ultimate goal of a disciple. Luke 6:40, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Trained. Are you being trained? Are you learning? Are you growing? And I want you to understand that training is a process. It's not a one and done kind of thing. It's something that we are all being trained. We're learning. We're growing. How exciting would it be for a young athlete to get to be trained by Dak Prescott? Some of your parents, you got a little singer in your family. How exciting would it be for them to be trained by some famous singer? You know, nowadays, there's a lot of this kind of thing that goes on. I mean, if you want to learn to be successful in this area of business, you can be trained by this person so you can be a success. In fact, a lot of people, they have what they call a life coach. Sounds like a way to waste some money to me. But anyway, they have a life coach that teaches them how to be successful in their life and achieve all that they can. But I just want to tell you, we have the ultimate life coach, and our Savior, He wants to train us to be more like Him. It is a process. It's something that we learn and that we grow in. But Jesus, the Master, oh, He teaches us how to really live. You know, a lot of things change in this world. I mean, it's just constantly changing. But there's some things that don't change, and here's one that doesn't change. People need Jesus. That's right. Oh, we see it today. People need Jesus, amen? But it's always been this way. People need Jesus. Well, think about this. You and I, we're the only Jesus that most people are ever going to see. I mean, the Lord could appear to somebody if He wanted to, but most often that doesn't happen that way. If they're going to see Jesus, if the lost people, the hurting people, the bound up people in our world, if they're going to see Jesus, it's going to be in us. And we have been called as a disciple to be like Jesus. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says that we are Christ's ambassadors. We represent Him to a lost world. Is there somebody you know that's not serving the Lord? Somebody you know that's lost? Be Jesus to them. Treat them the way that Jesus would. Talk to them the way that Jesus would. I want to tell you something. The world doesn't need any more angry religious people. That doesn't reach anybody. You know, Jesus dealt with that a lot when He walked this earth. Angry religious people, the Pharisees, they were mad. Mad about everything. And you see this anger in all kinds of religions, even in much of Christianity. You know what people need? Jesus. That's what we need to show them. That's what they need to see in us. They need to see Jesus. And the world is supposed to see Jesus in the church. Ephesians 1:23, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. You know, when Jesus walked this earth, He was just at one place at a time. But now, His church is all around the world. It is the fullness of Him. It is the body of Christ, the fullness of Him that fills all in all around the world. His church is being used to reach people, and we get to be a part of that. You know, in this series, we've talked about what it means to truly follow Jesus, and this morning, I'm just going to kind of do a real quick review of the three previous messages, but it takes a total commitment. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. We can never be like Jesus with less than a total commitment. Jesus gave his all, and it takes that kind of commitment to truly be like Jesus. But to be like Jesus, we also have to be with him. We can't become like him if we're not really with him, if we don't really know him. We can't imitate him if we're not intimate with him. You know, sometimes when couples live together for 40, 50, 60 years, it's amazing how they begin to act more alike over the years. And what's really weird is sometimes they even start to look a little bit alike, like brothers and sisters or something. But I'm just telling you that the longer that we walk with Jesus, the more we should become like him, where we act like him. I'm not trying to get you to, you know, look like Jesus physically, but I'm just telling you that we ought to be looking or acting more like him day by day. Some of the most Christ-like people that I've ever personally had the privilege of knowing were people that had walked with the Lord for 50 years or 60 years. And I'm just telling you, I'm not telling you it takes 50 years for you to act like Jesus. I'm just telling you, though, that it is a process, and we ought to always be learning. You see, whether you've been a Christian for a day or you've been a Christian for 50 years, we ought to still be learning to be more like the Savior. Amen. That is our ultimate goal and what he wants to do in our life. A disciple is somebody that is a student of another's way of life. Not just learning knowledge, but they're learning a way of life. And you see, as we learn Jesus' way of life, we become more and more like him. We should always be learning and growing until we grow up to be like Jesus. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, we're going to work our way through this passage and we'll keep coming back to it for a few minutes. In verse 11, he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Contrary to the attitude of culture and even much of church culture, church leaders are not just supposed to take care of the people. They're supposed to equip the people, the saints, for the work of the ministry. And that is all of us being a part of what the Lord wants to do in the earth today. It's not just for the paid staff, it's for all of us. And he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Perfect man? Who's the perfect man? Jesus. And he said that when a disciple is fully trained, when they're perfectly trained, they'll be like him, just like the teacher. And that's our goal. He says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to grow up into Jesus. So what are you doing to grow up into Jesus? Are you spending time in his word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you getting involved in the work of the ministry that you were supposed to be being equipped to do? Verse 14, he said that we should no longer be children. No longer be children. I will tell you, a lot of the body of Christ acts like children. It's all about me. But when we grow up, we realize it's not all about us. It's about us being used of Jesus and allowing him to have his way in our life that other lives can be touched and changed. You know, and there's nothing wrong with being a baby when you're a baby. You know, babies always want to be bottle or spoon fed. I just got to tell you, it bothers me when a Christian that's known the Lord for 30 years says to me, well, I just wasn't getting fed at my church. Now, don't get offended at me, but I'm just going to tell you, if you've known the Lord 30 years and you don't know how to feed yourself, it's time for you to grow up. Because I want to tell you, you're always going to get dissatisfied if you think that it's up to a man to feed you. You need to be able to study and read the Bible. You need to be able to pray and hear from God. See, we need to grow up and not be children anymore. Don't stay a child. Don't stay a baby. You know, babies, they just think that everything's about them. They're self-centered. It's all about what I need, what I want. But when you grow up, you care about other people. It's about helping others. But here's what happens to people when they don't grow up. Let's read on in Ephesians there. He says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, we'll come back to Ephesians 4 in a minute, but I want to go to 2 Timothy 3 and 4. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They turn away from the truth, they're turned aside to fables. What are fables? Stories. You know, you can twist the scripture to say just about anything. And what is so common in our day is somebody will take one verse or a phrase of a verse, just one little piece, and they'll have a couple of illustrations to go with it, and it's not what the scripture was intended to say at all. And there's so many that are caught up in this thing of wanting some new doctrine. They're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes down the path. I want to tell you, God's word is still the truth, and we need to hold to the truth of Scripture. Now, there are going to be things that we learn, amen, that are new to us from the Scripture. I mean, there's things in here I don't know, and I've been studying it a long, long time. And I'm still learning and I'm still growing. But I'm just telling you that you need to know what the scripture says so that you are not just tossed to and fro. Instead, you grow up. You know, there's this attitude a lot of people have right now in our culture. I'm talking about Christian culture that, you just tell me what it says. You need to know the Bible for yourself. You need to know what the scripture says so that you are strong in the Lord and you're not tossed back and forth. Right. Somebody got some new teaching. Oh, this is deep. Red flags need to go off. When somebody got some new teaching that nobody else has. Nobody else has got this before. Something's wrong. This hasn't changed. In fact, I'm going to just be ugly for a minute. I'm just going to jump out here. One of the ways that people are being deceived today is all of these weird new translations. They're not even translations. They're a paraphrase. They're somebody's opinion about the scripture. And here's why it's so contagious. Ooh, wow, this is awesome. I never heard that before. Ooh, this is really cool. Because it's not in here. You need to stick with the truth of God's word and have a sound translation so that you're not being deceived by what somebody else thinks. Now, back to Ephesians verse 15, chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, that's what we need. Speak the truth in love. That we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We grow up. We grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. You see, it's the truth of God's word that grows us up. It's deceptions that bind us up. But if we'll stick with the word, I tell you, the end result is it'll grow us up in all things into him. It seems like so much of the gospel that's preached today, it's all about what Jesus can do for you. And don't misunderstand me. Oh, Jesus can do so much for us. He has done so much for us. But there is such a focus on this of what's in it for me? What will it do for me? One of the advantages to being old is you can look back over the decades and you can see how things have changed for better or worse sometimes. But you see, I remember a time when we used to sing things like, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like Him. All I ask is to be like, just this desire to just want to be like Jesus. Not wanting this and this and this, and just an earnest desire. I just want to be more like my Savior. And I want to tell you that from the Word of God, we ought to have that desire. A disciple who's perfectly trained will be like the teacher. And He's called us to be that. Verse 16, He says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. See, when we grow up to be like Jesus, we want to be a part of what He's doing. We want to, He says, every part does, every person is supposed to do their part. We work effectively. I want you to understand that when we are trying to be like Jesus, sometimes you got to have your work clothes on. There's going to be work involved. And we all have a part in that. You know, that's one of the exciting things to me about the missions trip this past week was here's a group of people that just being used of Jesus, that being Jesus to people. And when you see the pictures and the video, you know, so much of the time they're just serving. They're just helping people. They're just caring for people. That's Jesus' hands and feet. And you see, that's the way it's supposed to be, that we all have a part in what God is doing. It's all of us together as a body. You see, then we can be Jesus to the world. You can't be everything to everybody. Don't let the enemy put that on you. You can't meet every need. I'll tell you, as a pastor, you learn that real quick. You can't meet every need. You can't be everything to everybody. But here's what I know. We as the body of Jesus can. But it takes all of us together. In John 20 and 21, Jesus says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. You need to know that as Christ's ambassador, that you have been sent to the world. There are people that are lost, that are hurting, that He has sent you to. You know, Jesus said that those that are whole don't need a physician. And there are going to be some people who are resistant, some people that you can't reach. Jesus didn't reach everybody. Paul didn't reach everybody. You can't reach everybody. But here's the thing. There are some people that you can reach. There are some people that are waiting for you. You might be the answer to somebody's prayer. That God would use you in some way to meet somebody's need. Everywhere we go, there are all kinds of needs. And again, you can't meet everybody's needs, but can you meet somebody's need? I mean, there's a lonely person and you befriend them. There's somebody that's been hurt and you speak kind words and help heal those hurts. Maybe there's somebody that's discouraged, that just all beat down, and you encourage them, you build them up. Maybe somebody is sick, and the Lord uses you to lay hands on them and pray for them. Maybe somebody has a financial need, and you help meet that need. See, if we want to be Jesus to a lost world, here's what we need to do. We need to find the need and meet it. Because I will tell you, our Savior, He went about doing good. He went about helping people, healing people, making a way. Yes. And you know what? God wants to use us that way each and every day. We all have a part in that. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. How can we imitate God? Well, here's the main way we need to imitate Him. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. See, to be like the Savior means we walk in love. Think about this. Jesus said, by this, the world will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? This is the main characteristic of a disciple of Jesus, that we love the way He loves. He said, love one another as I have loved you. We can't leave the love out. This is the most important thing, that we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. And I just got to tell you, see, if we're becoming more and more like Jesus, then we imitate this life of love, who was willing to give Himself. Greater love is no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And you know, that may not mean that you actually have to die for somebody, but it may mean that you have to deny your own self, that you have to put what you want on hold, maybe set aside your needs so you can meet somebody else's needs. But if we're going to be like Jesus, we got to get this part right. Because see, you can have faith that can move mountains, but the Bible says without love, we're nothing. Jesus loves people. And if He lives in us, we love people. I think sometimes Christians get the wrong idea. You know somebody that's not serving God, somebody that's backslidden, somebody that, just acting like the devil. And we want to straighten them out. Never works. Never works. Your flesh may feel better, but it never works. What does work is when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love, and we just love that person. We just keep love never fails. We just keep loving them. We're kind to them. And the Holy Spirit can take that and use that to soften their heart. But we need to remember the main thing. If we're going to be an imitator of Jesus, if we're going to truly follow Him, we're going to love people. It's the Holy Spirit that puts that love in our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, you're going to be full of love, because the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our heart. And we just need to stay full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, to be like Jesus, think about how He is loving and kind. He's merciful and forgiving. He's not judgmental. He doesn't condemn. He's unselfish. He didn't fulfill His own agenda, but did what the Father wanted Him to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to be served, but He came to serve. He encourages the discouraged. He restores the hopeless. He heals those that are hurting. He sets the captives free. I'm talking about the one that we want to follow, that we want to be like. Here's part of the issue this morning is that we all, starting here on the platform, we all have all kinds, excuse me, dealing with a little cough. We all have all kinds of faults and flaws. And most of us know it full well. If you don't, there's probably somebody that will remind you. I just want to say, you don't need to remind me today. I'm well aware. But somehow in the midst of all of our weaknesses and our problems, we're thinking, how can I possibly be like Jesus? I just want you to know that we serve an awesome God who is able to work it out in our life. He is able to take weak and broken vessels and make something good out of them. Now, I'm going to share a verse of scripture with you that we often talk about. It is a favorite scripture. It is a great promise that we love to talk about when we're going through a difficult season of life. It just helps us make sense of it. It brings consolation to us. Romans 8:28, it says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And as I said, it just helps us to know that when we're going through difficult times, that somehow that God is working through the midst of it, that He's going to bring good. But He says to those, it's not just for everybody. No, it's actually not. It's available to everybody. But He says to those who love God, love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then this last part, we almost never mention, never talk about it at least, who are the called according to His purpose. You've been called. If you're a born again Christian, you've been called for a purpose. What is that purpose? Well, He tells us in the very next verse. The verses are connected. By the way, you know, in the original text, there's no verses here. He says, for whom He foreknew. I want you to know, God knew about you. Before you were ever formed in the womb, He knew about you. He foreknew you. And He knew that you would be born again someday. But listen to what He says. Whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. I told you there was a destination. You see, God has predestined it, that we are going to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He has in mind. That was His plan. That is the ultimate goal for a child of God, for a disciple, is to be like the Savior, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. All of us, we're supposed to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Before Jesus went to the cross, there was a group of people that was wanting to see Jesus. And Jesus didn't go, but this is what He said. He said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. It's just going to stay one. But if it dies, then it's going to bring forth a great harvest. And He's talking about Himself. You see, Jesus was just one man, the God-man, but one man at one place at one time. But He died, and now we are that many brethren. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He wants to multiply Himself in us, His church. And we need to understand that this is part of the plan and the purpose of God for us. How is this possible that we can be like Jesus? You know, a lot of us, we have ancestry. And when we're all, by the way, we're all Adam's descendants. Some people get a little confused about that. We are all Adam's descendants. We were all born sinners. And some of us, you know, we're born with a generational curse, things that were passed down to us. And God delivers us and He heals us. But I want you to understand this, that as a child of God being born again, you have a new spiritual DNA. So you've been born of the Spirit. You've been born of God. He is your Father, and you need to know that. And because of that, we can change. We can be conformed into the image of Jesus. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. He's still alive while he's saying this, right? It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now, I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. Paul didn't get up on a cross to be crucified. He is speaking a spiritual truth that his old nature, his old man, died on the cross with Christ so that he could live a new life. That's what baptism symbolizes. It is, when you go down in the water, it's the old man dying. When you come up, it's the new man, Christ, living in you. And you see, we need to understand this. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. You know what? I think it would be good for every one of us just to memorize that. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Oh, is that the Christianity that a lot of people know? That's the Christianity of the Bible. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. That's how we can be Jesus to people. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Amen. Got a work glove here. I know some of you think I borrowed it. It's a work glove. Work. Do something. Nothing. A work glove that won't work. How's that work? Well, the glove has to have something inside of it. And what can it do now? It depends on who feels it. And you see, we need to understand that apart from Jesus, we might just be an old work glove. Some of us have been used and abused. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no limit to what God can use us to do. You see, there's too much of this attitude about me, even in the body of Christ. It's not about us. We're just an empty work glove that the Holy Spirit fills. And he's the one that uses us to help people, to minister to people, to see lives change. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. How can we be Jesus to anybody? The Holy Spirit inside of us. John 14:17, Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Jesus tells the disciples, the one who's with you, he's gonna be in you. And we need to understand this, that the same promise is for us. Jesus, that was with the disciples, he is in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Right. Years ago, there was a Gatorade commercial. I think they did several kind of like this, but one of them, they showed Michael Jordan drinking Gatorade. And they said, be like Mike. You know, and the implication is, like, if you drink Gatorade, you're going to be able to leap from the top of the key and slam the ball down in the net. And I just got to tell you, it ain't true. You can drink a whole ton of Gatorade, and all you want to get is heavy. You know what I'm saying? But here's what I also know, that when you are filled with the Spirit, that you really can be like Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit. It is Christ in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. But we got to be filled with the Spirit. We got to have the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You see, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, He'll put us in places and give us the words to say. We know how to help somebody or what to do. You see, we can be like Jesus. I got to tell you, as a pastor, I know how much I fall short of being like Jesus. I know it. And I know many of you feel the same way. But I told you at the beginning, it's a process that we are all always growing. And you just need to realize that those disciples, what a mess they were. I mean, have you read the Gospels? Have you read about these guys fighting over, you know, who's going to be the greatest and everything? And they were so selfish sometimes and so weak sometimes. You know, Peter denies Jesus. And yet somehow, He used them so mightily that worldly people said about them, they turned the world upside down. And I just want you to know that yes, we're flawed. Yes, we all make mistakes. But we still can be used of Jesus to make a real difference in this world and be Jesus to somebody. Don't let the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, talk you out of that. But you see, the more that we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to lead and guide our lives, I'll tell you, the more that you will show Jesus to other people. And not just in the things that we do, but in who we are, what we become. That we're not just acting like Jesus, that we become more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23, it tells us, this is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, those are all the traits of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is able to produce those things in our life. But we got to make it our goal to be more like Him and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us every day. I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul was talking about becoming more like Jesus when he said this in Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I've already attained or already perfected. None of us, right? But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press toward the prize. He's not talking about a crown. There's other places He talks about a crown. But He's talking about an upward call. There's a call. It'll call us upward to be more like Jesus. And no matter what has happened in the past, we need to see, we hadn't attained. We're not perfect. He said that, right? He says, I haven't attained or already made perfect. But forgetting about the past, no matter where you've been, what's gone on in your life, you see, it's a process. You need to pursue. You need to press on. You need to go after this upward call to be like Jesus. I'm going to close with these two verses from 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. There's a whole lot that we don't know about eternity, but here's what we do know. We know that when He is revealed, we shall be like him. Wow. It's coming. There's a day that's coming when we finally will be just like Jesus. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You see, if we have this hope that we're looking forward to that day that we'll finally be like Jesus, he says everybody that has this hope purifies himself. You see, day by day, we want to keep learning and growing and becoming more like Jesus. And anything that doesn't fit into that, anything that would hinder us and keep us from being more like Jesus, we want to set that aside. We want to push that aside so that we can become more and more like him. Because we have this hope that ultimately we'll finally get there where we're just like Jesus. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.